And our Lord asked the question here down in verse 45, Luke chapter 8. And Jesus said, "Who touched me?" Somebody touched him, and he knew it. You see, our Lord went about doing good. He's always, always done good. He's never done anybody wrong in the history of the human race. Our Lord always does good, always does right. But while He was on the earth, He went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil, healing so many. And here in this chapter alone, He cast out a legion of demons. You know, there was that Gadarean maniac that dwelt among the tombs, lived among the dead, and they couldn't do nothing with him. Our Lord cast out a legion of demons out of him. Clothed him, set him in his right mind, set him at his blessed feet. Now he's on his way to Darius' house. Darius, ruler of the Jews, a ruler of the synagogue, came and only had one daughter, asked the Lord Jesus to please. She lay at the point of death and asked the Lord Jesus to please go down to his house and heal his sick daughter. Well, he's on his way to Jairus' house, and a great multitude, there says in verse 42, said, but as he went, the people thronged him. You know, wherever he went, there's this great crowd following him. Just a multitude of people following him and just pressing around him all the time. And on the way down to Jairus' house, something happens in between him getting from Jairus asking him until the time he got to Jairus' house in this crowd. And there's virtue that flows out of him and heals this poor, sick, helpless, miserable woman. And you know, when he'd done this, you can imagine how it encouraged Jairus. Oh my, if he does this for her, you know, what will he do for me when he gets down to my house for my daughter? But now look there in verse 43. "Who touched me?" That's what our Lord asked. "And a woman having an issue of blood 12 years, which had spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any." Now this woman had a horrible disease. According to the law, this disease made her unclean. She wasn't even supposed to be in public. She wasn't supposed to be in public at all. She's supposed to be unclean, wasn't supposed to touch anybody. Wasn't supposed to have anything, you know, nobody wasn't supposed to touch her. And she had had this disease for 12 years. 12 years, hemorrhaging blood for 12 years. And this awful disease, her life is slowly, slowly ebbing away. The life of the flesh is in the blood. That's where it's at. They can tell what kind of disease you got, or how much infection you have and everything else by your blood. They can tell by your red or white count whether what you got. They can even tell by it and start looking around and find out just how bad things really are for you. The life of the flesh is in the blood. Always has been, always will be. And that's why our Lord Jesus Christ, the life of His flesh was in His blood. And that was the blood that was shed to wash away our sins. He laid down His life, gave up His life. And it was from blood flowing from Him profusely and His heart exploding inside of Him that caused that blood to flow from Him. But it wasn't how much blood He shed. It was the very fact that it's whose blood that was shed for us. And oh, she had this awful disease. And because of this disease, she is weak. She is so weak because of this condition. A thing she can do for herself. She can't stop it. She can't stop it at all. And she's unclean, as I've already said. According to the law, she's unclean. She can't touch. She sits on a stool. The stool's unclean. Touch anybody, they're unclean. Her house is unclean until after this is taken care of, and then there's a ceremonial cleansing and washing. And not only has she got this disease and she's weak and she's unclean, but she's miserable. Do you imagine being in this condition year after year, day after day, on and on and on and on and on and on for years and years and years. Well, beloved, that's the effects of sin. That's the effects of sin. And there's no external remedy for this. No external remedy. The problem's inside her. The problem's in her body. The problem's in her nature. The problem's with the law. Even if she gets cleansed, she's got to go back to that law. The law has to pronounce her clean. But here's the situation. That's the effects of sin. There's no external remedy. The problem we have is our blood and our relationship to Adam.
Right.
That's why we cannot. Can a clean thing come out of an unclean? No. How can he be clean that's born of a woman? Can't be done. Here's a woman who's unclean. A woman and a man cannot produce a clean thing. It's impossible. And there's no external remedy here. And the wisdom of man has never yet found a remedy for this thing called sin. Man could not find a remedy for this woman and her hemorrhage and this issue of blood she had for these 12 long years. She's in the process of dying. She's in the process of life ebbing out of her. And for one reason, she had a disease, and that disease was of blood. And life is flowing from people, and they're going to die because of an issue of blood. This issue over blood. The issue of a relationship to Adam.
That's right.
And look at the effort she does. The effort to save herself. She's going to try to save herself. She's going to do everything she can to make herself better. But she can't. Look at it here and said that she spent all her living. She spent all her living. She spent everything she had. 12 years. 12 years. She knew she had this disease. She is willing to give and did all she had to get well. So I give everything I've got. She kept paying and kept paying and kept paying and kept working and go to one doctor after another doctor. Make me well. Doctors can't do it. She cannot buy her health. She cannot buy this disease to be taken care of. She can't do it. Oh my. She's lost all pretense now. Here's the master. She came behind him, touched the border of his garment. She knew. She spent all her living. And how many people have spent all their living trying to make themselves well, and yet they're going to die anyway? If they pronounce you that you're only going to live for so long, and for some reason God in sovereign mercy let you live for years after that, you're still going to die. And here this woman, you imagine, I don't like spending money on doctors. I don't like that, I don't. Do you like spending money on doctors? Most, 9 out of 10 times when you go in there and you tell them what, they ask you how you're feeling, what you're doing, you tell them. And they don't tell you anything. Don't tell you anything. Most of the time. Write you a prescription. Tell you go about the house, take two of these and go to bed. And that's what they've done to this woman. But not only that, but she went to all these physicians. One after another, after another, after another. She heard of a doctor here. She said, oh my, it's going to cost me a lot of money to get over there, but I'm going to go. I'm going to go to the Mayo Clinic. I'm going to go to the Cleveland Clinic. I'm going to go to Johns Hopkins. I'm going to go find the best doctor that there is, that he's going to cure me. And that's what people think about preachers. If I can just sit under such and such a preacher, if I can just hear this preacher, if that preacher there, if I can get somebody to come and hear that preacher, then I believe they'd be saved, because that preacher is so good and so wise and so gracious that he'll be saved if they can just get him out of that preacher. Oh, beloved, life's not in a preacher, life's not in a doctor. Life's in Christ.
Amen.
Huh? Oh my, all pretense of being good enough is gone now. She can't justify herself. Well, I've spent my money now, and No shamming, no scheming, no more. No, no. Oh, she was earnest enough to get well. She was earnest enough to and sincere enough and hard working enough to do all she could to make herself well, but she went to the wrong place.
Amen.
She went to the wrong source. You can't purchase your cure. It can't be bought. I don't care what people say about you, know how much you give and how much you do. And oh, watch what happened now. It says there in verse 43, again, she spent all her living. Oh, she put out all the effort she had upon physicians, and she couldn't be healed of any. Couldn't be healed of any. Oh, my. Let me tell you some of these doctors she went to. You know, Job had physicians of no value. They sat there and talked to him day after day after day after day after day, and he finally said, "You are physicians of no value. You're ever one quack." Let me tell you some of these doctors that she went to. There's old Dr. Sadducee. You know, there's old Dr. Sadducee. Sadducees, they didn't believe in a resurrection. They didn't believe in spirits. They didn't believe in angels. They didn't believe in an afterlife. The grave is as far as you went. Well, so old Dr. Sadducee, they told her, said, and when she went to him, she said, "Enjoy yourself. You're only living once. Don't be so serious. Enjoy life. Take life as it comes. Enjoy it. Smile. Be happy. Everything's going to be fine." Huh? And then there's old Mr. Pharisee, Dr. Pharisee, old Dr. Legal, Dr. Law. He comes along and says, "You know, if you'll put the Ten Commandments out in your front yard, and every time they tell you they want to take the Ten Commandments down, you go and protest against that. And take your old son and his son's civility, come along and says, now you do this civil now. Don't break no laws. And you go and you act good and you act nice and carry your sign. And you go and do the best you can. And you stand up for the law now. And you keep the law. Don't you break the law. Don't. Oh, my old Dr. Pharisee didn't do any good. She walked away from him, still bleeding, still had the disease. And then here comes old Dr. Ceremony. Old Dr. Ceremony. He said, "I'll tell you what we're going to do with you. I'm going to sprinkle some water on you. I got some holy water here. I went to Israel and got it out of Jordan. I'm going to sprinkle some holy water on you here now. Sprinkle you with this, and here's you some candles. You go over here and light these candles, and burn them candles, and then you pray so long, and you face in a certain direction, and you come back, and I'll give you a bread, and I'll give you a wafer, I'll give you a wafer, and I'll give you some wine, and you'll be all right. And you stop by the poor box on your way out and put a little money in there for the poor." And then here comes old Dr. Orthodox. This is the doctor who says, "Now, if you got all your I's dotted and all your T's crossed, got your Calvinism down good now, got your theology straight, you got all the correct opinions, well, tell me about God. Oh, He's sovereign. Tell me about yourself. I'm sick. I've got a disease. I'm just sick. Do you believe in election? Do you believe in predestination? Do you believe Jesus died for all? Do you just believe He died for some?" So old Dr. Orthodoxy, he comes along and he listens to everything you say and every word you say. And the minute you say something, they're supposed to say, "I told you now, you're going to have to get these things right or you ain't going to get healed at all. God ain't going to accept you until you get everything just exact. Get all your ducks in a row. You've got to get everything just exactly right. You've got to understand everything there is about faith, everything there is, you got to take it the way I put it out here. If you don't believe it that way, you don't believe nothing." Well, I tell you, true religion is more than just having correct opinions.
Right.
Oh, man. Then there's old Dr. Preparation. This is This is something that still goes on, and it even goes, and it's as natural to us as water running downhill. And that's old Dr. Preparation. You know what Dr. Preparation tells you to do? Make yourself fit for Christ. Make yourself eligible for grace. Make yourself fit for salvation. Yeah, you're not sinful enough. You're not sorry enough. You're not bad enough. And he wants you to get, you got to have this so much conviction. You got to feel so bad. You got to almost go to hell before you never go to heaven. And you're not making yourself, you're not prepared yet. You got to prepare yourself. Go and hear so many sermons and read so many verses in the Bible and attend so many services and pay attention and then you know you make yourself ready. How sinful do you feel? How far from God do you feel? And they got to prepare yourself. If you're not far enough off, then you can't come. If you don't feel sinful enough, then you can't come. If you don't have enough guilt in your heart, you can't come. That in and of itself is so self-righteous. And we do that even as believers, you know as well as I do. We want to make ourselves fit still. Huh? How many times have we said, well, I do this, that, and the other, but I'm not fit. We're going to witness to somebody and something will come up in our mind and say, I'm not even fit to witness to them because of the way I just acted. You're qualifying yourself to even speak for Christ. There's no qualifications.
No, sir.
Our Lord never told this woman here, said, now you've got to feel this way, that way, and another way. No. She came to the only place she could go to. And if you're waiting to feel sinful enough, bad enough, lost enough, you'll be waiting till the Lord comes. Huh? Now there's one Savior. Is that not right?
Amen.
One Savior. One Savior. Do you know Him? Do you trust Him? Do you believe Him? Do you say, I'm lost? Well, He's the only Savior. He saves lost sheep. And oh my. And the reason all these doctors and all these different physicians, their cures didn't work because they didn't understand the disease. They was dealing with the symptoms, not the disease.
That's right.
With the symptoms. What about the disease itself? Oh my, let me show you over here in Mark chapter 5 just a minute. There's a thing or two over here that says about this woman that doesn't say here in Mark chapter 5. And oh my, in Mark chapter 5 and verse 26. It says there in the last part of verse 26 here of Mark chapter 5. Look at her failure. It says here, but was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. When you start trying to do it yourself, you're going to get worse shape than ever. Ain't that right?
Right.
Oh, when you try to make yourself well, you get sicker and sicker and sicker. Huh? Oh my, but she didn't get nothing better, but rather grew worse. She's now without any hope at all. She's worse than ever after she had done spent all she had. After she went to all these doctors. Now she's without hope at all. I got no more money to go to the doctors. None of them could cure me. And now I'm worse than I was when I first started. How are you worse? I got no more money. I got no more doctors. Got no place else to go. I'm going to have to lay down here and die because I've got nothing. All of her physicians were of no value. Oh, they all gave her some peace, but it was false peace. All of them told me, you're going to be good enough now, but good enough never did come. One doctor said, you're going to be better, but better never came. One doctor said, if you'll just go up there and join the church. She joined the church, but she still sat there with her awful disease. They couldn't help her. You know why? Because they didn't know the source of the disease. They didn't know the heart issue. They didn't know the soul issue. But oh my. There in Mark again, it says this. She says there, and you'll have to look at it unless you're still there. She said, if I can just touch the hem of his clothes, I'll be made whole. I'll be made whole. See, she had heard of the Master. She had heard. Nobody comes to Christ without hearing of Christ. They just don't do it. They just don't do it. I had a fellow talking to me one time, him and his wife, and he's a preacher, and we was just learning a little something about the grace of God, and the first thing they said, when we talked about God's electing grace and Christ dying for you, said, what about all those people where they never heard about Christ? See, God is just God, and He's a merciful God. What's He going to do with all them? He can't let them perish without giving them a chance. God's been whole nations and never sent them a prophet.
That's right.
And there's whole nations right now sitting in heathen darkness. Heathen darkness. God gives whole nations up. Whole nations. And to think that He had passed by you or me? Huh? Oh, she had heard of the Master. There ain't nobody going to trust Christ who's never heard of Christ. Ain't that right? How are they going to call on Him of whom they have not believed? How shall they believe of Him and whom they have not heard? And how are they going to hear without a preacher? And how is he going to preach except to be sent? So then, faith cometh by hearing. Hearing by the Word of God. She had heard of the Master. She had heard about Him. She had heard of His power. She had heard of His healing. She had heard of His touch. She had heard that He could raise the dead. She heard that He cleansed lepers. She heard that He opened the eyes of the blind. And here I am. I'm dying. If anybody can do anything for me, surely He can. Look over in Isaiah 54 just a minute. Isaiah 54. I love this. Isaiah 54. You know, she came behind Him and touched His clothes. Just touched His clothes. And here says Isaiah 54:13, talking about she had heard of the Master. She came to the Master. She came to the Lord Jesus. And all thy children shall be taught of the Lord. And watch this now. And great shall be the peace of thy children. I'm going to establish you in righteousness. And I'm going to save you from oppression. You're going to be far from it. And you're going to be brought to where you don't fear, and you're not going to have any terror. It ain't going to come nigh you. The terror of the judgment, the fear of being cast off from God, the fear of not having a righteousness of our own. He said, I'll establish you. Not you'll establish yours. I'll establish it. And oh, beloved, ain't that what our Master says? No man comes unto me except the Father which has sent me draw him. And as it is written in the prophets, they shall all be taught of God. And everyone that hath heard and learned of me, what do they do? Come to me. Come to me. And that's what's happened here. She had heard of Him. Huh? Her faith was simple. It's simple. If I can just touch His clothes. Just touch His clothes. I'll be made whole. I'll be healed. And how great a faith is that, though it's so simple, to just touch His clothes. Just touch His clothes. My, my. And she's poor. She's come to Him. She can't offer Him anything. She don't have anything to give. And she sure ain't going to go to him for any medicine. You ain't got any kind of a medicine in a bottle you can give me to. I told Mary this morning, I just flipping through the channels and I seen a fellow there saying, if you want something from God, if you're going to get something from God, you're going to have to start doing something for Him. You're going to have to start giving it everything you got. You're going to have to start getting serious if you're going to get something from God. Oh my, if I'd do that, I never would get nothing. I never would have got nothing to start with. What could I have ever done for Him? What could I have ever done for God? What can I do for Him right now that would make Him have to give to me? Huh? What could I possibly say, do, or think, or act to get God to give me something right this minute?
Come on, Don. Amen.
Huh? How serious do you have to be to get God to do something for you? How committed do you have to be to get God to do something for you? How humble do you have to be to get God to do something for you? How much do you have to give to get God to give something back to you? If that was the case, this woman would walk away from Mary just like she came. And you and I walk away from here today and just forget about it. We got to do something to get something. That's this world's got this thing plumb upside down. If you have to do something to get something, then it ceases to be a grace.
Amen.
And the minute it ceases to be a grace, you're under law and works. And I ain't going to go under law, and I sure ain't going to try to work my way. I'm going to go to heaven by works, but it's not going to be mine, it's going to be His. He's the only person who ever got to ever want to give. And He had such virtue in what He did, and such value in what He did, and such preciousness and power in what He did, He takes a multitude that no man can number with Him when He went. Not going to take them when He comes. He's already took them all with Him when He went back up yonder. We're all seated with Him right now. Huh? But she believes this. She believes that just a touch of His garment, just touching His garment, will bring instant salvation. Oh my. Oh, you see, our Lord to her was the source and center of almighty fullness. Everything I need is right there. All my disease and the healings of it, right there. All my blood problems that I've had being taken care of is right there. All that the law demands of me and condemns me for is right there.
Yeah.
If I can just touch Him, touch His clothes, huh? Almighty fullness, that everything she needed was in that man, and she saw that, huh? And oh, look at the results of her touch there in verse 44 here of Luke chapter 8. She came behind Him and touched the border of His garment. And watch what happens now. And immediately the issue of blood, her issue of blood, stopped. Gone, just like that. Oh my. Just like that. Over in Mark it says that she straightway felt she was healed. Oh my, she felt it in her body. She felt that, that blood stop. She felt that healing. She felt that virtue. Her faith reached out and touched the Lord Jesus. And real faith always does this. It has nowhere else to go. How can I tell if my faith is real? Anybody here interested in having real faith? Anybody interested in knowing whether their faith is real or not? Huh? How can I tell if my faith is like this woman's faith? If it's real. That my blood disease has been taken care of. That my relationship with Adam is done. How can I tell if my faith is real? How can you tell if your faith is real? If I ask you that, if you got real faith, what would you say to me? If I ask you, say, tell me what your faith is. Tell me how you know you have real faith. That your faith is a gift of God. How can you? Is your faith a gift of God? How can you tell? How can you tell? Well, I'll tell you how you can tell. First of all, the only way you can tell whether you got real faith or not is by the object of it.
Amen.
It's who is the object of your faith? Is Christ? Christ the Lord Jesus, your only hope and plea before God? Is Christ the Lord Jesus your only righteousness? You don't have no other righteousness at all? Are you trusting in anything you said, thought, done, or acted? Or are you trusting in everything Christ did and who He is? Is your whole faith outside yourself? It's objective. It's in Christ and Christ alone. You don't look to yourself for nothing. You look to Him for everything.
Yes, sir.
She said, if I can touch His garment, I'll be made whole. And beloved, there's one person, He said, to God's right hand, that makes us acceptable, that makes us righteous, that makes us holy, that makes us wise in the ways of God, that makes us acceptable to God. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And the only way you can tell your faith is real is you always look to Him and never to anything else. Where else can we go? Who else can we trust? I've tried the flesh and it failed. I tried legalism and it failed. I tried fundamentalism, it failed. I tried Pentecostalism, it failed. I tried the way I dress, tried to change that and it failed. Tried tithe paying, it failed. And oh, it never gave me no comfort, never stopped the blood, never made me whole, never made me clean, never cleansed my conscience. But when God in sovereign mercy made Christ real and alive and vital to me, everything else is gone. Is that right?
Yes,
oh my. And immediately her blood was stanched. Huh? It was sudden. Just immediately. It was immediately. Oh, immediately. We're faith. You know, Todd Niver said this, and it just blowed my mind the first time he said it. He said, you know, he's talking about coming to Christ. This is the only place you come. The minute you start, you get there. Just as quick as you start, you arrive. The moment you go, you get there. The moment you come to Christ, that's the instant you get there. There's no distance between you and Christ. And that's what was the moment Christ and this woman come in contact. She's immediate. Huh? You say, what do I need to come to Christ? Nothing. Just come. How well will you get there when you come? How long will it take me? Ever how long will it take you to say, here I come? her cure was complete. It says in one place her blood was dried up. It was stanched. And oh, beloved, His remedy, His healing, His salvation went to the root of her disease. It went to the problem of her disease. And she was made perfectly, completely, absolutely whole. And then her cure was consciously enjoyed.
Yeah.
She enjoyed it. She couldn't feel better till she was better.
Amen.
You got to be made whole before you feel whole. You got to be cleansed before you feel cleansed. Now, ain't that right? Oh, my. Oh, look what happens now. Look what happens. And it says there in verse 45, our Lord said, who touched me? Who touched me? Huh? Who touched me? And everybody started denying. I touched you. I touched you. I ain't touched you. I ain't touched you. I ain't touched you. And then Peter and they that were with him said, Master, there's a multitude just pressing around you and pressing you, and you ask, who in the world touched me? Huh? Touched me? And our Lord said, who touched me? And our Lord said in verse 46, and said, somebody hath touched me. Somebody hath touched me. How does he know? And here's what happens. For I perceive that virtue is going out of me. There's a difference in touching and touching by faith. Difference in touching and touching when there's something wrong with you. All those people that touched him, wasn't nothing wrong with them. They just followed him around. But oh my, when one who is unclean, one who is diseased, one who is unable to do anything, when she touched him, something went out of him to her. Life from him went to her. Virtue, his virtue went into her. He said, virtue has left me. She didn't have any. He's the only one had it. And oh, I said, oh my. I said, that I perceive that virtue's gone out of me. Oh my. Now, why did our Lord ask, who touched me? Who touched me? Was it because he didn't know? I'll tell you something. When our Savior asked a question, every time you find where God asked a question in the Scriptures, it's to get somebody else to do something. He's not asking for information. He's asking for somebody else's benefit. And he says, who touched me? And they all began to deny. There's nothing wrong with me. I don't need to touch you. And if I touch you, it ain't going to do me any good. Well, this woman, she's pressed through that crowd and said, if I can just touch him, I'll be made whole. And oh, beloved, the question that our Lord asked her was to bring her to acknowledge the Lord's power, grace, and blessing to her. Look what it says. And when the woman saw that she was not hid, how does she know she wasn't hid? There's a crowd of people around there. Because our Lord said, somebody touched me. And I'm sure when he said that, he was looking straight at that woman. I'm just as sure that he looked at her, who has touched me? He's saying this, you're going to have to acknowledge. You need to acknowledge this. You need to confess this. See, that's why he wanted, you know, that you're going to confess my power, my grace, and you're going to let everybody here know what I've done for you. Oh my. She was not hid. Well, she is hid to everyone but the Master. Nobody else knew who it was. Simon Peter didn't know. He says, Master, everybody's pressing you and throwing you. Who do you say touched you? He didn't know who she was. John didn't know who she was. Nobody else in the crowd knew who she was. But says she was not hid. Who was she not hid to? Lord Jesus. Everybody, nobody else knew who she was. You know, that's why you're sitting here today and you're just hid. You're hid. You're hid to me. I don't know who the sheep are. Yeah. Your faith is hid to me. I can't see it. But it's not hid to the Master. But oh my. And here what happened. She came trembling and falling down before him in front of all those people. Now watch what she did. She declared unto him before all the people. For what cause? She said, she had to start telling what was her problem. I'm a sinner. I had this horrible disease. The law had me guilty. The law had me condemned. And she began to declare unto him and before all the people for what cause she touched him. You know why I touched you? I'm going to tell you why I touched you. I spent everything I had. I've been all over this country, went to the best doctors, trying to find some relief, trying to find some help, trying to find a cure. And oh my, I've just got worse and worse and worse. And I came here because I heard about you. I heard about your power. I heard about your grace. I heard about your virtue. I heard about your merit. I heard about your mercy. I heard about your power. And I said, if I can touch you, said, I come here because I was in miserable shape. Nobody else knew it. Nobody else in that whole crowd knew what a condition she was in. Uh-huh. And oh, she began to tell truth about what all she had declared and what cause she had touched him. And watch this. And she not only told how, why she touched him, but she told what happened when he did touch him.
Amen.
She began to confess how glorious he was. Oh, and she was and how she was healed immediately. She began to tell about what had taken place. Uh-huh. How she was healed. And oh, beloved, that's what confession is. You confess. This is what we confess. There's nothing in me but disease. Nothing in him but life and healing and virtue. And I've come to him. I come to him just as I am. And he made me whole. Made me whole. She believed with the heart. Now she's going to confess with her mouth.
Amen.
And if you believe with your heart, you'll confess with your mouth. Ain't that right? Well, look, our Lord gave her assurance. Look what our blessed Savior did. He gave her assurance. And he said unto her there in verse 48, daughter, that's what he called her, daughter. I'll be your God, you'll be my sons and daughters. Oh, daughter, 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 my daughter. Thy faith hath made you whole. Made you whole. Go in peace. Go in peace. And oh, look what happened. What it says to her. First thing it says, be a good comfort. She'd be a good comfort now.
Huh?
Why? Our Lord says, you believed and you came to me. She was made whole by that touch, by the virtue of being touching him. And her faith was simple, but yet it was the right object, it's the right person. But she was given assurance, not by her faith, but by his word. Now let me explain that to you. If she had went away from there without this promise, without Christ causing her to confess and acknowledging what he had done for her and her disease, she might have walked away from there and lived in fear all of her days. This disease is going to come back. I'm going to get sick again. It's going to come back on me. Huh? No, but you know, so she don't have to go away from her and say, is my faith good enough? My faith strong enough? My faith going to keep me? The Lord said, be of good comfort. He gave her assurance with his word.
Amen.
When he speaks,
yes, sir.
That's what gives us assurance. Not surely not our faith. Him. now she not only feels well and is well and has been made whole, but now she has her Lord's word for it.
Amen.
Daughter, be of good cheer. Daughter, be of comfort. You're whole. Oh my, she had her, word, her master's word for it. And now he says, go in peace. And you can't go in peace until the Savior tells you you can go in peace. And when he says you can go in peace, you can go in peace before God, for your conscience, before the world, before the law. You can go in peace. But until he says it, you'll never go in peace. Huh? And all beloved, listen, do like this woman here. By God's blessed grace, tell him now, like this woman did, declared before all. Confess what he's done for you. Confess it to your own mind. Confess it to your own heart. Confess it to your own conscience. And then you tell that publicly. And you tell it privately. And do like this woman. Go in peace. And enjoy what Christ did for you. Our precious, precious Lord. Thank you for allowing us to meet with you here today. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for your power. Thank you for your word. And oh Lord, take the things that's been said today and use them. Use them to your glory. Use them to your glory. And for that soul, that's, oh God, you know. And we ask you to do what needs to be done. knowing and believing you will. Thank you, Lord. Remember our children, lost, undone, without you. Have mercy on them for Christ's sake. Amen. Amen.